It's the CurseCast. We're back to join you for episode 5. Oh, boys, we got through 5 episodes. Welcome back, gentlemen. It's Carlos, Billy, and Matt. We are back for another episode of the CurseCast. Gentlemen, how have you guys been?
I've been pretty good. You know, a little bit of a disappointment with this past weekend, but, you know, we've mentioned it before, be a goldfish and keep moving forward. How about you, Billy?
I had a almost excellent 48 hours out in Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg, and Sarasota with our good friend Jochen and Kate from Skyway Casuals. Obviously, we'll go into more details about that outside of the rough 90 minutes I had there of that 48 hours, but just recovering from that fun trip, trying to catch up on some sleep and get ready for the epic couple of weeks we got coming up here.
How about you, Carlos?
Oh, I'm doing good too. Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, it's been a fun few weeks. Been able to continue ballooning in this beautiful weather that we've been having. The Isotopes have been in town for 2 weeks now, and a good homestand for the Topes and UNM baseball, working for them the past few weeks, and just been having a really good time. It's a beautiful time to be a New Mexican. The sun's coming out. The weather's getting hotter. It's our favorite time of year. Other than the allergies are a little later than usual, so that's been kicking my butt, but we have been doing good. But before we want to jump into things, I'm going to send it over to Billy Anthony. We're 5 episodes in, we already have to issue an apology to somebody. It was a good run. It was a good run, gentlemen. But Billy, take it away.
So our last episode, we were talking and we heard unclear information about the Lubbock Matadors head coach Paul Gilbert. So I want to clarify that, who we got to hang out with, and he gave us an appropriate good rib rubbing after the game. So Paul Gilbert, head coach at the Lubbock Matadors, he's been doing a lot. So he was working at Lubbock Christian University, I believe, and then he also was working at the head coach position for the Lubbock Matadors. So as part of that, he's done an awesome, amazing job and got himself an offer at Longwood University. For those who do not know where Longwood is, that is in Farmsville, Virginia. So as he is going into that job, that's a little bit further away from Lubbock than just down the street at Lubbock Christian University. So he was going back and forth between those two jobs here, between managing the Lubbock Matadors through their Open Cup run and doing his new job for Longwood University. So it's not as much as he was getting fired, as I accidentally and sadly misstated in our last episode. And yeah, so apologies to you, Mr. Paul Gilbert. So just want to say that. Congratulations on that job that you got over there in Longwood. And first of all, I'll just give you kudos for the amazing work you've done with Lubbock Matadors and your amazing U.S. Open Cup run. We'll go into more details about that here in a few minutes. But best of luck to you and your family as you get settled over there in Farmsville, Virginia. And yeah, just wanted to clarify that. And thank you for giving us the good tease about that.
Yeah, he was fantastic about the whole situation. A very avid listener, it sounded like. So thank you for listening, Coach Gilbert, and we wish you the best of luck at Longwood. Our treasurer, Sean Traina, has a Longwood Energy shirt from this year's NCAA tournament. If we would have known that he was at Longwood, Sean said he would have worn that, so Coach Gilbert could have seen. But best of luck to you, Coach Gilbert, and best of luck to the new incoming head coach at the Lubbock Matadors, the current Eastern New Mexico head coach. But best of luck to Paul Gilbert, more importantly. But we've been busy. We've had 3 matches since the last time we've talked. We've had an Open Cup match. We've had North Carolina FC, and we've had Tampa Bay Rowdies. We've been living on the East Coast the past 2 weeks since we have last talked. But first, let's dive into our Open Cup matchup against the Lubbock Matadors, in which we are talking about. Gentlemen, it looks like I have a crystal ball. I predicted 3-1, and the score was 3-1. Goals by Harry Schwartz in the 58th, Daniel Bruce in the 59th, and Akale on an absolute beauty of a free kick in the 6-second minute. Lubbock got on the board in the 90th minute with a penalty, and the final score was 3-1. New Mexico United outshooting Lubbock 23-8. 8 shots on goal to their 3, 66% possession to their 34%. And passing accuracy for both teams is really, really good. 88% for New Mexico United, 80% for Lubbock. There was quite a bit of fouls in this game, but there were no yellow cards in this game. And New Mexico United with 5 offsides and 6 corners to their 2. And thank you to Rio Rancho High School and the Rio Rancho Rams for being such gracious hosts to us for our Open Cup matches the last 2 years. Fantastic facility they have in Rio Rancho.
Also want to give a shout out to our friends over there, Steve-O at Ex Novo, for a fantastic pregame party. Some beer, some hot dogs. We got a lot of the United fans in, the Curse family, the Galactic family, the Black Diamond family, the Mozos coming all the way over from Lubbock. Just a great time to hang out, get to know each other, talk soccer, talk differences between Texas and New Mexico, show them what our beautiful state is all about, show them the amazingly good beer out at Ex Novo and Corrales. Just a great time. So thank you very much to Ex Novo for allowing us to crash your house for our pregame for this match.
And you have to give a shout out to the Lubbock Matadors themselves. For an MPSL team to come up and do as well as they've done, there's a huge amount of talent in that group. We ended their Open Cup run, and a lot of those players are going to be moving on from that team at this point. But it was a fantastic run, and there's a lot of players with a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, they were a very, very good side. Much like Coach Gilbert, he was traveling everywhere. The players were also traveling every which way, because really this team is made up of mostly college kids during the summer, from our understanding and the conversations I've heard and had. It's kind of hard throwing a team together for the U.S. Open Cup, but they had 2 amazing wins. They were able to play a second division side in the United States, and that's what the Open Cup's about. And that's the beauty of the Cup, and the Mozos traveled fantastic. Great, great group of folks there in Lubbock. Quick shout out to Ryan Shelburne, the president of the Mozo, who was on one of our last episodes of the Cursed Cast. He did a fantastic job organizing, get everyone out there. Great group of fans out there. We're happy to have them in ISC. We look forward to seeing them there real soon. They've been rooting for us. They're rooting for us the rest of the Open Cup. So hopefully some of their Open Cup magic will rub off on us.
2 more things, or maybe more than 2. We'll see how well I can count here. Sadly, no shutout for Shakes. Did so well keeping that clean sheet until that late penalty, 90th minute from Shuma Sasaki when he buried that one in to ruin the clean sheet for Shakes. That would have been awesome for him to get that clean sheet, but sadly no there. And I just have to highlight one of our own, first career start and New Mexico United main team match for Jackson Dubois. Amazing performance. I think they slotted him in as a right back, but he was moving up and down that flank, getting into dangerous positions, coming back on defense. And gosh, I just love seeing our two-way players being able to make it. By two-way players, I mean those who play for our academy but are allowed to play for the main team as well. And just seeing them get out there against real experience, against that next level experience, just fantastic. Loved seeing Jackson out there. Did a fantastic job. He's one of our own, so thank you, Jackson.
It's always exciting to see Academy signing get minutes with the main team, because you can tell that that's something that it means so much to them. And it's great to see New Mexicans get that opportunity, which we wouldn't have if we didn't have a USL team here.
Agreed with that, Matthew. There was a third thing, and Carlos, I'm going to let you expand on this one. We also got to see Abu Danladi for the first time. What were your thoughts on him making his first New Mexico United appearance?
I really liked what I saw from Abu Danladi. When he came on, I turned to you, Billy, and I was like, he does exist. He's right there. And he, you know, it's going to take time for him to settle in. But from what I saw from Abu Danladi in that Open Cup match, once he's fully fit, gets used to the altitude, and is more rotation in the squad, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, folks. My goodness, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And Billy, how'd you feel about Megan, that score prediction, right?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, I wish I would have been closer with my 4-1. I mean, I would have bought Matthew.
You were much closer.
Yeah, I would have bought Matthew. I don't know what I would have bought him. I'd spend a pretty penny on a nice bottle of scotch or whiskey, whatever his preference is, if he would have gotten that score right. But no, Lubbock showed up to play, held us scoreless until the 58th minute. We had to earn that win, and New Mexico United did. They had those 3 goals in 4 minutes, showed up. But no, it was hard work. It was effort, but it was good to see the team not give up, work hard, work through, not give up many dangerous chances, and secure that win to move on, because we got some exciting news about our next Open Cup match coming later this episode.
I think it's just a testament to the Lubbock Matadors themselves that, you know, it was a competitive game. You know, United was in control the majority of the match, as far as I could tell, but there were dangerous moments, and you could tell that all those players were on the Lubbock Matadors were playing their hearts out. There was a little bit of a joke in my prediction, but, you know, I'm kind of happy they proved me wrong, but also happy that we're moving on.
Without further ado, we will get more into the Open Cup. But we had two more matches. We got right back to league play right away later that week. We headed back out to the East Coast. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't think I've ever seen this team play on the East Coast so much, it feels like. But we had a match that Saturday, April the 20th, on 420 against North Carolina FC down in North Carolina. A 3-2 New Mexico United victory for the boys in black and yellow, getting another win. Was briefly atop of the Western Conference table for about, I want to say, an hour and a half because other matches were going on. But it was a shootout in the first 30 minutes of that match. North Carolina scoring in the 16th minute, followed by a Greg Hurst penalty in the 19th minute to equalize 1-1. Ezra Armstrong for North Carolina scored in the 28th minute, followed by a cheeky chip by Greg Hurst in the 29th minute. So 30 minutes in, and it was 2-2. That first half was very much a roller coaster, but that second half was kind of lackadaisical by both teams. A little bit back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, are we going to score? Is the team going to score? 90th minute comes around, and this is usually when things don't go our way, historically speaking. And Sergio Rivas, New Mexico's own, slots one home to make it a 3-2 New Mexico United victory, stealing 3 points on the front end of the East Coast trip against North Carolina. New Mexico United was outshot in that game 14-9, each team having 5 shots on goal. New Mexico United, 53% possession to 47 for North Carolina, and a 78% pass accuracy for both teams. There's quite a bit of fouls in this game, a lot more than I expected. 12 fouls for North Carolina, 6 for New Mexico United, each resulting in 1 yellow card for each team, and each team had 3 corners. It was a great game, and one of my favorite lines from this match from our watch party at Tin Can Alley came from Billy when Akale took a free kick. Do you want to expand on that one, Billy?
Akale took a free kick? Which one was that?
If I recall, you said it is sexy. Akali's free kicks are sexy.
Ah, yes. That is exactly what I was saying. Sorry, it took me a second. I thought you were going to give me crap about what I said about Greg Hurst taking the penalty there for a minute.
Oh, no. It was the Akale free kick.
I mean, to be fair on the penalty, he did go the same way.
Yes, I did. I was not a big fan of Hurst taking that penalty at first after what happened in the Phoenix match where he missed that one late.
He has a favorite side, and the goalkeeper picked wrong this time, but it's a little bit nerve-wracking.
But back to the subject at hand, yes, Akale has some fantastic free kicks. I mean, first of all, if Carlos hit it on the earlier with the free kick beauty goal that he against Lubbock. He had another amazing one here against North Carolina. Just the man knows how to get the ball in to dangerous spots, knows how to get it in on target. Just, gosh, you love to see those shots from distance. So, Akale, keep up those sexy long-distance kicks.
We should also talk about the goals, both the second and the third. Like, Carlos called it a cheeky chip, but it was stretch, barely getting to the ball, managing to arc it just perfectly over the goalkeeper. Like, that was a thing of beauty and absolutely, in my opinion, deserved the nomination for goal of the week that it got. And then the Rivas, just the one touch, powerful into the ground that streaked past the keeper, was just epic as well.
And not only was that finish, but the buildup to get there. So far, my silent hero of the season, our number 15, Arturo Astorga, silently just playing most of the season, just doing a fantastic job at either left or right back, wherever he needed to play, getting up there in the flanks in dangerous positions. I was watching the replay of that goal, and they brought it back to where he did a lot of work in midfield to get away from his defenders, got himself clear to get that ball perfectly on over to Hurst to get that cheeky chip in, and just fantastic play overall. Greg Hurst was up for goal of the week. That's what you want to see. Haven't seen a lot of that this year from United with those cheeky, beautiful goals like that. But that was glorious to see. And just 1 minute after Armstrong took the lead for NCFC, just showing that New Mexico grit to, hey, we just gave up the lead, but we're going to get right back in this match.
Yeah, it was a very hard fought by New Mexico United. High hopes going into that, the back leg of the East Coast trip. And sadly, that one did not fare very well for the boys in black and yellow. They finished the road trip splitting, which, not never a bad thing. Splitting, especially when you're on the East Coast in Tampa Bay to our friends, the Rowdies.
Well, the road trip's not 3-0. Over yet, Carlos.
Oh, that is, well, the East Coast road trip is over. My apologies.
Right. You are correct. Coast, you are correct. Sorry.
The East Coast trip is over. Thank goodness. Nothing wrong with splitting the back end of a East Coast road trip. Tampa Bay Rowdies dominated this match if you just look at it from 3-0. New Mexico United had more possession. They outshot us 5-2. They had more total shots at 16. But Mexico United had a lot of chances. They had two big chances missed. They hit the post once. New Mexico United, more passes. They were more accurate with their passes. More long balls, more dribbles, more duels won, more interceptions, more clearances. It should point to New Mexico United victory, but it was a 3-0 defeat. Kel Jennings haunting us right away, 7th and 16th minute, and Ortega in the 58th. And it doesn't help that an old nemesis of ours, one of my favorite players in the USL, and I wish, maybe one day, my wish will be answered that he will be playing for the black and yellow, but former San Antonio keeper Jordan Farr, now playing for Tampa Bay Rowdies and haunting New Mexico United yet again in goal. Billy, you were there in Tampa Bay. You were able to travel and visit our friends at Skyway Casuals and Ralph's Mob. How was it out there, and your thoughts on the match?
My thoughts on the match first are it was tough. We just didn't have the oomph factor, the grit. I'm going to use that word grit a lot this year because we've seen it so far. We saw it earlier when we came back against El Paso. We saw it when we came back against North Carolina on the road, down a goal twice in that match. For those anime fans out there who've seen Gurren Lagann, show me those teeth, grit it out. We just didn't see that tonight. I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on. From the end stadium, I just didn't get to see all those details. But they didn't give up. They kept trying. They kept moving the ball around. But it was just one of those days where Tampa Bay just had the answer. Every time we tried to get a ball through, every time we tried to get a ball over the top, it was just, it was rough there. Before I go into the rest of my trip, Matthew, what were your thoughts on the game?
Well, I was watching it at Tin Can Alley, and you could tell that there was something off. And the thing that I've noticed from the season so far is that we really like to play out of the back, and we really like to kind of have that defensive possession, which leads to higher possession stats. But we seem to crumple under the high press, which Tampa Bay brought in spades. You look at some of those goals, they were started with bad passes in the defensive third, and that's a spot you don't want to lose the ball. And I think, that there's a question here of how does the team start to deal with teams high pressing? Because that's what I've seen in most of the games where we've lost in kind of a crushing fashion, is like we crumple under a high press, and that needs to change.
Any other thoughts on the game, Carlos?
I did not get a chance to watch most of the game. I was at a gala for the Boys and Girls Club of Central New Mexico. Great things that they're doing there, but I was not able to watch any of the match, unfortunately. But statistically,
Carlos is the reason why we crumpled under all that pressure.
So I will take the blame. Oust the president right there. I will take the blame, and I connected the two, and I had this conversation with Sean and Chantel that same night. I missed the Charleston match. I was working that night and ended up getting free tickets from UNM for PBR. So I took my stepdad and my buddy to PBR. We lost 4-0, and then I was asked to attend the gala for Boys and Girls Club of Central New Mexico, and we lose 3-0. So I will take the blame for those two matches on that one.
The lesson learned, Kirsten United family, do not invite Carlos anywhere on game night. He has one job, and it's to be the sombrero.
I'm sorry, Eric Quill. Hashtag impeachment.
Oh, no, we're not impeaching you. We're just going to give you more work.
Oh, no. Whatever will I do? But Billy, how was Tampa Bay? Since you got to watch the match, how was Tampa Bay?
So first of all, shout out to Yakin from Skyway Casuals and Kate. Fantastic people. So through our partnerships and relationships at ISC, I've gotten to know Yakin, and he is a fellow crazy Dortmund soccer fan who, honestly, he'd fit in so well with the Curse Familia, but he lives in Sarasota, Florida, so he just happened to fall in with Tampa Bay first. But just fantastic. Got to go out, enjoy some fish, enjoy some tiki bars. Apparently, there's some very strong Mai Tais out there, so always visit your tiki bars and tip well in Florida. That's what we learned. But just enjoyed the weekend. Got to see different parts of Sarasota for the first time. They have a good beer scene down there. It's a little different, a little bit more retirement towny down there. St. Petersburg, obviously, folks, a lot of people know that the Curse, we're very pro-LGBTQ+. Our pride community is very strong, and we're going to be allies, very strong in your face. Florida has some questionable laws with their current governor and other political leaders, but St. Petersburg, they do not care. That is one of the most amazing pride-friendly places I've ever been. So just get to enjoy St. Petersburg for what it is, enjoy the community there. Just fantastic place to be, honestly, to visit. So just got to enjoy that, got to celebrate our friend. I made some friends along the way. Mo, birthday, happy birthday, Mo. Got to do a pedal cab with them. Got to enjoy some bars, the tailgate. Okay, you guys get good. I don't think I took a picture of it, so I apologize for it. But they got to work on their Spanish a little bit. They provided some pork adobada for the tailgate. So I was broken there because I was like, what the hell? And I was like, oh.
What are
you? Yes. I was like, I forgot. I'm not in New Mexico. I was sitting there. I was like, those words don't make sense in my head. Yeah, that's why, because I'm not used to seeing it that way. So you know what? They gave the good old, they tried, but it was a great time. Got to hang out with Ralph Mob at the tailgate. Got to see Peter and Ron came by. Got to talk with the supporter groups there. And we already talked about the 90 minutes of the match. And then got to go to the beach the next day in St. Pete. Just overall, great place, great people. And that's one of my favorite parts about our USL community, our supporter group community, is like I can go meet people who are just the same as myself, as Carlos, as Matthew, as Josh, as Jess, as Tina, as just all of our other fellow Curse Familia, all of our other supporter group familia. Like you just go anywhere and you can meet those people and experience that same culture just with its own twist. Like, they got their Tampa Bay, St. Pete, Sarasota culture there. We got our New Mexico culture here, and it's a blast. And thankfully, we'll highlight it here in a little bit that we're going to be able to show our New Mexico culture off to some away supporters here for our next USL match, but we'll get that in a little bit.
We would take a quick gander over at the Western Conference table like we try to do every podcast. New Mexico United currently sitting now back in fourth place. Still a good place to be, don't get me wrong. Mexico United, 4 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses. Now have a -3 goal differential after we worked hard to get it back to 0, but we are sitting at 13 points. First place in the Western Conference is Sacramento Republic. 8 matches played, 5 wins, 3 draws, 18 points. Orange County, 8 matches played, 4 wins, 3 draws, 1 loss, sitting at 15 points. Monterey Bay, 4 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. 14 points. We have only played 7 matches, so we have a match in hand. So if we do win that match in hand, Mexico United could easily go into second place, only 2 points behind Sacramento Republic. We're coming for you, Megan. In fifth place, we have San Antonio FC, 3 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses, 12 points. There's a team in Arizona that sits in sixth. They have 10 points. Jose Bautista's Las Vegas Lights have kind of got a little... They still have not drawn a match, so the baseball streak is continuing. The Las Vegas Lights are now 3-5 on 9 points. FC Tulsa has been getting and catching fire. 6 matches, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses, 8 points. The Oakland Roots, 8 matches played, 2 wins, 1 draw, 5 losses, 7 points. Memphis, this ain't the East. 7 matches played, 2 wins, 5 losses, 6 points. And the bottom of the table, once again, looks so beautiful. Colorado Springs, 7 matches played, 1 win, 1 draw. They did win a match. Congratulations, Colorado Springs. You have won a match. You have lost 5 of them, though. You only have 4 points. and the El Paso Locomotive, the last winless team in the USL Championship. No wins, 2 draws, 6 losses, 2 points, sitting at the bottom of the Western Conference. Tampa Bay, looking back over just so we could see where they are in fourth as well in the Eastern Conference. They are also sitting at 13 points, but they have 3 wins and 4 draws. They have not lost. We have 4 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses. And they were seems like a pretty evenly matched teams. They have a +9 goal differential. We have a -3. But that is your Western Conference update. And that was the hard part that we were not planning on, unfortunately, having to say anything until this happened. This was announced earlier today that sadly Christian Nava has re-injured his ACL, forcing him to miss the rest of the 2024 season. That just a crushing loss for just New Mexico, not New Mexico United, but New Mexico. Yeah, that's I'm at a loss for words, and I just feel really bad. I know how much, and Billy, you can talk about this too, how much knee injuries suck. And man, it sucks to see this. It really does.
It's really hard when you're young and you're just pouring your soul into what you're doing. And in his case, he's become a professional soccer player. Get back, get cleared to play, and then just get re-injured so quickly. It's hard. It's not just the physical injury. It's the mental aspect of it. But Christian, I don't know if you're going to listen to this or not, but we're all here for you. You ever need someone to talk to, we're here. We'll be with you every step of the way. You need us to come out with the megaphone and smoke bombs to your physical therapy sessions, we'll do it. We'll be out there in a minute. But you're not alone in this. I know it's hard. I don't know if you're going to need surgery or not. But regardless of whatever you need to do to get back, we're here with you. We're going to wait for you. And you are going to get the loudest cheer ever at the lab when we get to see you again. Sad that we're not going to see you in the next couple games. But just know that, Christian, we love you. We miss you. And yeah, we're waiting for you to come back. So I don't know what we're going to do yet because we just found out this news a couple hours ago. But Nava, we're definitely going to do something for you. We're going to make you cry and we're going to help give you the strength to get through this again.
When we chant, we love you, we love you, we love you, and where you go will follow. They're not just words. It's a mindset. It really is. And, you know, we will follow you through this battle to make sure that we're there to support you. So Christian, we wish you the best, and we are thinking about you. And I know the USL, most of the USL world is as well, and all of New Mexico is behind you here. But on some brighter news here, we got 3 matches coming up this upcoming week. Lost Las Vegas. Ugh, can't even utter that name, awful name. Real Salt Lake in our U.S. Open Cup. New Mexico United hosting an MLS team at home for the first time in Open Cup history. It's not our first time playing one. We have been able to play 4 USL teams. We have a 500 win percentage. We are 2-2 against MLS teams, and we are looking to advance to 3-2 against Real Salt Lake. That'll be at the lab on May the 8th. And then our good friends in Oakland come and pay us a visit on Meow Wolf Night. That is scheduled for May the 11th at 7 p.m. But first, the matter at hand, Las Vegas. New Mexicans love going to Las Vegas, Cinco de Mayo weekend. And last time there was a good contingent of New Mexicans in Las Vegas, the Lobos won the Mountain West tournament. I want to point that out there, the Pit West. And we have a good contingent of New Mexicans heading out to Cashman Field in Las Vegas, looking to make it the Lab West. Maybe we can start coining that phrase. The Lobos had the Pit West, and New Mexico United now have the Lab West. Las Vegas Lights is they're an interesting club. Like I said, they have no draws. They are 3 wins and 5 losses. But this season, they're coming off a 6-0 battering from the Charleston Battery. See what I did there? 6-0 battering from the Charleston Battery. And a 2-1 Open Cup win against Spokane Velocity, which I called was going to be my Open Cup upset. They pulled that one off at the death, and they gave Rhode Island they gave Rhode Island their first win in franchise history at Cashman Field. Gentlemen, what are you looking forward for the Black and Yellows trip out to Sin City?
Well, first, I want to highlight Stacy, our amazing community outreach coordinator leader. She got ourselves a pregame party out in Las Vegas, so you'll be seeing this posted social media later tonight at Rebar plus Davies, 5 p.m. on South Main Street. We're going to get out there, hang out with your fellow United Curse Familia, get ready for the match over at Cashman Field. So first, look forward to that. So we're the Road Warriors. Vegas is a middle tier team, slightly lower than us. So based upon all the calculations, as my engineering allows me to do, we are going to win 3-2 late in the 90th minute, because that's what we seem to do lately. So that's what I got. Matthew, what are your thoughts on the Vegas match?
The 3-2 does seem to be about where we're going to be given our current trajectory. You know, late winner, probably, you know, hopefully we can, in the last two matches, we've kind of looked a little bit sloppier than we have with North Carolina FC and the Tampa Bay Rowdies game. If we can kind of start to get a better look about us with better passing and a little bit more confidence, I think we should do fairly well against Las Vegas Lights.
Carlos.
Yeah. Our matches with Las Vegas have always been in wild. Whether they've been at home, whether they've been at Cashman Field, they've always been interesting. We played them last year on the 4th of July and gave up a late equalizer, but I have a 2-1 New Mexico United victory. We like to score in spurts, so have us scoring quick goals in succession to go up 2-0. Las Vegas will grab one late, make it a little stressful because we can't have nice things. And New Mexico United will walk away with a 2-1 victory, walk away from Cashman Field. Screw you, Las Vegas. Screw you, Las Vegas. Okay, the Lights, you have nothing to do with this, and I'm sorry about that, but you know who I'm talking about.
All right,
if you know, you know.
All your favorite teams.
If you know, you know. Except the Warriors. But if you know, you know.
Carlos is calling it right there. United will get its first 2-goal lead of the season in a USL match. Just fun facts, and folks. We have not had a 2-goal lead in a USL match this year.
That is an odd stat.
Well, we've only won 4 games by 1 goal and lost 2 games by 7 goals. So we haven't had opportunity
-3
to be up by much. Oh, boy. All right. Rolling into our next match. So our, what is this? 3 games in 8 days, middle week, our Open Cup match, New Mexico United versus Real Salt Lake, the wannabe Real Monarchs. We miss you, Monarchs. Please come back to the USL. But Carlos, what are your thoughts about United matching up against RSL and that one guy who used to play for that one team?
That one guy that used to play for that one team who shall not be spoken of. But first off, before we get into that, we got to talk about how historic this match is. New Mexico United hosting an MLS team for the first time at the Lab. This is huge. RSL has had a interesting season. Obviously, the MLS is weird. But in which, having an interesting season, they currently sit atop the Western Conference standing, the Western Conference table at the moment in the MLS. At the time of this recording, they currently have 10 matches played, 5 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses, 18 points. And let's take a gander at some of their matches. They did lose to Messi 2-0. A draw with St. Louis 1-1, a 3-0 thrashing of LAFC, a 2-1 loss to Colorado Rapids, a 2-1 win to Vancouver, a 3-1 win to St. Louis, 1-1 draw with Minnesota, 0-0 draw with Columbus, and a 4-0 win over Chicago, and a 2-1 win over the Philadelphia Union. They have Sporting Kansas City coming up on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. And all the fellow Catholics listening to this probably said with your spirit there. But they're an interesting club. They got a lot of firepower. Now, the question obviously is raised, is MLS going to take this seriously? I think they should, because playing in Albuquerque is a little bit harder. Yes, they play at altitude, and there's a lot of connections between New Mexico United and Real Salt Lake. Devin Sandoval, Justin Schmidt played for them, Kalen Ryden playing for Real Monarchs, who still are the farm team for Real Salt Lake and MLS Next Pro. We miss you, Real Monarchs, as Billy said. So quite a few connections between RSL and New Mexico United. This is going to be a hard one. This might be one of the toughest matches of the season for New Mexico United. It's going to be a 1-1, and we'll head to penalties, because every time we play an MLS team, it seems like we head to penalties, and New Mexico United will take it 5-4 on penalties, much like our game against the Colorado Rapids. I believe we took that one 5-3, actually. But New Mexico United will win 5-4. 4-3, correction. New Mexico United will win 5-4 on penalties over Real Salt Lake. Billy, How do you think the black and yellow match up against, I almost called them the Monarchs, Yale Salt Lake? That one,
we'll call them Monarchs Junior, because we know Monarchs is the real team. As you mentioned, RSL's good. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard fought. They're going to start with their, as we know, there's a whole reason why there's a large movement out there about Save the Cup, history over profits, beautiful scarf. Shout out to ISC and I think St. Louis who came up with that design. They're probably not going to take it as seriously as they should. They're going to pay the price for it. They're going to have to bring their big guns in late. It's going to go 2-2 all the way through extra time. We're going to pens, and I got 4-3 United in pens. Tambach is coming up big with some crucial saves and those penalties. Yeah, we're going to show why the cup matters. We're going to show that USL teams, that our players are good enough and that this tournament is worthy. And you know what? They might get their cash grab from the League's Cup, but I'm not ashamed to say that the Open Cup is worth it. It's beautiful. It's glorious. And we're going to show RSL what it's all about. And we're going to show MLS what it's all about.
And my quick, seems like every podcast I have a quick rant about how stupid MLS is. MLS, keep your freaking hands out of the USL, please. Recently, Indianapolis was snaked by their mayor. Their mayor backstabbing them and talking with Don Baby Garber about an expansion team in Indianapolis. So shout out to Brickyard Battalion and David out there doing the Lord's work and, you know, making sure people know that Indy 11 is there, that they don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. And they've been there for 11 years. So MLS, keep the heck out of us. If you want a club so bad, do promotion and relegation. But that is my weekly MLS rant. But quickly, right after the Open Cup, this is going to be a very busy week because we have Meow Wolf Night coming up. And it seems like every time we have Meow Wolf, there's usually a kit drop. Now, whether there is or not this year, I don't know. I haven't heard anything, but I would expect there is. And our good friends in Oakland are coming to the 505. The 510 is making the trip to the 505. And Oakland has hit a bit of a rut recently. They have been struggling. They were the ones to hand Colorado Springs their first win of the year. They barely beat El Fadalito. They lost Detroit City 3-1. That's their last three matches. And have fired their head coach. Their head coach has been fired. They currently sit ninth in the Western Conference at 7 points, a -7 goal differential. They are not off to a hot start this season. For this one, it is going to be a 3-1 New Mexico United victory, and the black and yellow will get a win on Meow Wolf Night, a dominant win on Meow Wolf Night, much like we did last year against Sacramento Republic on Meow Wolf Night. And I cannot wait. Currently, as we record, we are working on a possible costume involving me, my stepdad, and our treasurer, Sean Trina. So hopefully it works out, and can't wait for you guys to see it based off the Savannah Bananas. But a 3-1 New Mexico United win over the Oakland Roots. Billy, how do you see the black and yellow after the RSL match matching up against Roots?
Two games in a row at home. We're going to show up. We're going to show Oakland what we're all about. I also have this one going 3-1 in favor of the black and yellow. I believe we're finally going to get our first 2-goal lead of the season against Oakland. We're going to get the lab rocking. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be weird. You know, I know Austin's got their weird thing going on, but this is Meow Wolf. We're even better than that. We're going to have a rocking tailgate. I'm going to have a good time out there getting ready for the match. So come on out. Join us for pregame. Details will be dropping in this next week or so. Carlos is going to hit up here in a few minutes that we're actually going to have a pre-game night event on the night before with some of our Oakland fans and family. So you're welcome to that as well. But I think United, we're going to show up, show big, get those goals. Not going to get that new manager bounce with us. They might get it later, but not with us. United's going to be hungry at home to get those 3 points for the lab and help us get back up to where we're continuing to strive and cement our place for a home match playoff.
Exciting stuff. This is what you live for. And it's good to be back at the lab. It seems like it's been ages since we've played at the lab. New Mexico United has only played 2 home matches this season, averaging 10,000 in attendance. For all you stadium naysayers, it's sold out at all the stadiums, so you can get it. But it is now time for one of our favorite segments that will be kind of going dormant for a little bit, barring any news. But it is time for the Rochdale update. Rochdale, since we last talked, drew, I believe, we did talk about this match. A 1-1 draw with Dorking Wanderers. A Rochdale 0-0 draw to Boreham Wood. Rochdale ending the season on April the 20th on 420 with a 2-1 win over Southend United. A 90-minute goal winner on the same day we had a 90-plus-1-minute goal winner going to the Dell, up the Dell, going out on huge, huge win for the Dell. The final look at the National League table. Chesterfield is going up. Congratulations to Chesterfield. We'll see how the playoffs go. Rochdale this season finishing middle table in 11th. Not a bad place to be if you are the Dell for their first season there. Obviously next year, got big hopes on getting back into the football league. But as of this season, Rochdale finishes 11th. 46 matches played, 16 wins, 14 draws, 16 losses, a +5 goal differential, and sitting on 62 points, just 1 point behind Oldham Athletic at 63, 3 points behind Southend United in 9th at 65. Good season for the Dell. It was a little rocky but at times, but they're getting a new ownership group in, and it looks like things are coming up for the Dell. Can't wait to see what happens there. Taking a look at the big one that we want to highlight coming up, folks, and this is still in the works. We have an idea on where it's going to be. We're just waiting for confirmation, so please be on a lookout on social media for this information. But one thing that we want to start trying to do and trying to make this a tradition and more of a welcoming place for opposing fans is a pre-match meetup the night before the match. So this will take place on May the 10th. We're looking about 7 o'clock. So exactly 24 hours prior to kickoff for that match with our friends, the Oakland 68s, the supporters group for Oakland Roots, the Soul, as well as the Oakland Athletics. And I cannot wait to see some of my friends. Cassandra's coming out. No word on Jorge Leon, the president of the Oakland Roots, does a great job out there balancing three teams. It's hard to balance one. I can only imagine how he's balancing three team and everything going on with the Athletics. And they're bringing a good little contingent out for Meowwolf Night. I warned them it's going to be a little weird, more than they've ever seen. But once we have confirmation on a place for that, we will get that out. And it'll be a family-friendly event. So curse members, non-curse members, United fan, Oakland fan, doesn't matter. As long as you support Sal the team. Just joking, but that would be appreciated if you did. But everyone obviously is always welcome to any of our events that we host. We are currently working on trying to get a drum and capo practice in. It's a little hard at the moment because Isotopes Park is pretty booked with Isotopes games, and as soon as the Isotopes end, we have Open Cup, followed by the pre-match meetup and the Oakland Roots game on the 11th. So once again, we are currently working on finalizing schedule for that. So once again, please look for your emails and social media for those updates. Three matches coming up. We have a watch party on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you once again against Las Vegas, 8:30 p.m. Yes, we got a West Coast time. We're finally back on the West Coast and we get the late times, Billy. My goodness. It's past my bedtime, but we will be at our friends at Santa Fe Brewing, Tin Can Alley for that one. Great host for us as always. And we look forward to seeing everybody there. The Open Cup match on May the 8th. Get your tickets. Get your tickets now for that match against Real Salt Lake. And then obviously also get your tickets for the Meowwolf Night, May the 11th, 7 o'clock kickoff as well. One thing that we have completely spaced, and the Real Salt Lake match just reminded me before we get into our sponsorship highlight and some news about a new sponsor coming in. We have a friendly match. And it will be on June the 19th against Juarez FC. We are playing a Liga MX side for the first time. This will be New Mexico United's third international friendly. The black and yellow have drawn one and lost last year to Sunderland 3-2. That means this is going to be a win for New Mexico United, and I look forward to it.
Some other things we got going on the calendar for the next couple weeks. We have ourselves a couple of Curse Leadership meetings, May 6th, May 20th. We're going to try to do the May 20th in person, so all of y'all will be invited out to that. We'll have more details for you later. Any of you folks interested in helping plan out Pride we're getting our Pride Committee going. Please reach out to Curse Leadership in any way, social media, email, come find us, whatever you got to do. We're always looking for all the help. We'd love you to get out there. Also, for the Open Cup match, unofficial tailgate. I know I'm just going to say myself, I'm going to be out there with some food, a couple drinks, hanging out in the parking lot around 4 p.m. for that 7 p.m. kickoff match. And don't forget, everyone, we are still accepting donations for UNM CART. We're trying to help all those children who are in some really tough situations. So anything can help them, whether that's toys, clothes, toiletries, anything that can help a kid, we're going to donate that over the UNM CART. And last but not least, TIFO, Pride TIFO is coming around the corner. So we'll be hitting up soon. If you got any ideas, start working on them. Share them with us whenever you want. But yeah, that's going to close up our calendar partially through May, at least for the next couple of weeks. But just wanted to get some of that out there.
Now, happy to announce Sheehan Winery is now a proud sponsor. Sheehan Winery. We have recently opened a Sheehan Winery Taste Room in historic neighborhood of Old Town Albuquerque. Walk-ins are welcome, and they would love to see you down in their Old Town Tasting Room. They also have a place up in Red River. They have a Red River Tasting Room, and we are so happy that they have brought on. They've been a huge help already with helping us with Pride and been fantastic, fantastic to us. We actually had our last meeting. It was in person. It was an in-person meeting, and we were able to have it there. So thank you to Sean at Sheehan Winery for helping us out. Once again, they have a Old Town Albuquerque tasting room, or take a little day trip up to Red River. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. You can find them located at 303 Romero Street, Northwest, Suite 110, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87104. They do close at 9 o'clock. That is located in Plaza Don Luis, and you can reach them via phone at 505-508-1221. Once again, that number is 505-508-1221. And the benefits with that, so happy to share those benefits with you. And thank you to Billy for being able to get these rock and rolling for us. Sheehan Winery, you'll now be able to get $5 beers at Sheehan Winery with your Curse membership, as well as $5 on Vinos Unidos wine. And the Vinos Unidos wine actually helps go towards the Somos Unidos Foundation. So please, please, if you can, get the Vinos Unidos. Billy, have you tried the Vinos Unidos?
I have. I have been able to try a few different ones. I bought a bottle of the Blanco, and that was a fantastic drink to have during one of the U.S. women's team matches. I did get to try the Rosé the other night, and that was also a very excellent wine. So I'm glad I have an opportunity to, A, support soccer, and B, learn more about wine. I know my scotch well. I know beer pretty good. And I'm looking forward to spending a lot more time hanging out, supporting the Somos Unidos Foundation through the Vinos Unidos and at Sheehan Winery. Just good place, great people, just very welcoming for the soccer family. And yeah, definitely go check them out anytime you're out in Old Town.
And it's Plaza Don Luis. If you don't know what plaza that is the plaza in which they light the Christmas tree every year down in Old Town Albuquerque. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. They've done a great job down there. So go support local. Go support the small businesses in Old Town and go support them. Once again, $5 beers and $5 on Vinos Unidos wine. Well, that's just going to about do it for us. Can't wait to see everybody coming up soon to all our amazing events that we have coming up. Until next time, from Billy, Matt, and Carlos, Somos Unidos, we are united.